Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Where with Renegade Witches Blog. Hit us up, of course, when you want some real work done. And I just wanted to throw out my ancestors who paved the way for me and even paved the way for this show to give me strength, understanding, wisdom, wealth, prosperity. Talk to me in spirit, talk to me in my archetype, but even the ancestors who are not connected to my bloodline, who's showing me that I don't have to be pulled down to nigga Illuminati to be, but basically giving me a rebirth, a resurrection, an understanding, a clarity of where I'm supposed to be, or even as us as Black people. And let's understand, it's not the past, it's the future. But it's up to us to rebuild the standards, no matter how we come across, no matter who we are, but we know the what's up. And the bottom line is that the way the world is going and the way we've been scammed, we have to return to our ancestors and give thanks to them all. So I'm going to first click on to Sandy here. Sandy?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Okay, I can hear you. Yeah, it sounds like you're
okay.
Hustling and bustling.
I'm going to stop hollering.
Okay.
Oh, that's because I'm rattling paper.
Okay. So, of course, I'm going to connect now our guests because we have an array of energies to talk about all over the place. So this may be under some kind of water energy. It's going to be all over the place, but we're going to talk about a many of things. Let me see here.
Okay.
Hi, guest.
Hello. How are you?
I'm good.
Hi.
So who are you today?
Today I'm going to be Bagugavah, but most people know me as Sia Grant, but I'm going to be Bagugavah today. How are you ladies doing this evening?
Good. How are
good.
You?
Good.
I'm doing good.
Great. I just kind of want to put it out there. It is. And I just wanted to put it out there what brought this particular show. And what brought this particular show, of course, one day I was drunk in spirit and I went the fuck off on Tasha K, and including I brought up Tia Wilson, a.k.a. who? What is her name? Alexis Tyler. But I brought up that energy. Oh, God. And I brought her up only because I'm like, what's going on here? Why is she giving this person thanks? And at first when I did the video, I felt the waves, and I was like, oh, shit, I should take this down. And the spirit said, nah, let it ride itself out, okay? So when I let it ride itself out, it was so many things that came out from that video, so many things that I even had to look at myself from letting people put their values on me, their archetypes on me, how everything is connected, how it's a bigger picture than what we really think, how it's also connected to our relationships, not only with our parents, but with ourselves, with other people, our wealth, our prosperity, how we've been basically closed up in the mind, how we didn't sat up and let a certain mentality of people come together and reinvent our bourgeois, our boule, our consciousness, our energy, everything, okay? So either one of you guys can start. I'm going to let somebody want to start it off. Go ahead.
I'll finish it. I'm not going to start it.
Okay.
Well, remember you and I were having a conversation, and you had made a video where you were talking about how – I hate even calling this man's name, but y'all know who I'm talking about. What you call him, Sandy? Kitten Heels? Is that his name?
Oh, Kitten Heels.
That thing over
there.
Yes. Yeah, that thing over there.
Yes.
I remember you made a video, and you were talking about how he was making fun of a sister who was of a bigger body mass, chubby or whatever you want to call it. And that got me to thinking about my experiences being a heavier gay black person. And I want to be clear when I say this for people out there, because, you know, people, they always get shit misconstrued. I am not trying to intertwine my experiences with black women's experiences, because I'm not a black woman. I don't get down like that. I'm not one of them type of gay men, so I don't want nobody out there thinking that. I want to be clear about that. But I'm looking at the patterns of behaviors as it pertains to how black men have treated me because of my body size. And let me be clear, and I'm going to keep it motherfucking 100. Most of the black men that I've had relationships with have been on the DL or bisexual. And that's unfortunate for me because and when it comes to the numbers, unfortunately, it's more of them than there are of just regular gay men. Unfortunately, that's how it is here in D.C. So when you were talking about how he was making fun of that sister, it took me back to the hypocrisy of how niggas, how they will sit up and criticize and critique black men and gay black men for weight, you know, even if you may not even be that big, and it doesn't matter if you are or not. The point is they will sit up and critique and criticize and tear down a person based upon their body size. We get preference. But to tear a person down because of their body size, and then these niggas will go right out and they'll mess with a white gay man that's 400 pounds. You can go right on X Hamster. I know I don't know. I know y'all don't probably look at no porn or nothing like that, but on I do. On X Hamster. On X Hamster. Or X Hamster, you can go on there and see countless black men having sex with the most unattractive, fat white men and white women. You see that, and these are not feature porn movies. These are amateur movies where regular people are just recording themselves. And see, a lot of times, them black men don't even know that. And a lot of them, I'm going to assume, are DL men. They don't look. They don't. The energy doesn't seem like they're just gay men or you know something like that. It seems like they're bisexual or DL, and they're being filmed by a lot of these white men, and they don't even know it. And if they want to talk about in terms of weight and health, they're not concerned about their health because. And I'm gonna be graphic here, ladies. They're sitting up dumping pounds and pounds of semen inside of somebody's rectum, unprotected, but then they want to sit up and criticize somebody about their weight and talk about it's about health. Then why aren't you concerned about your motherfucking health? That's my motherfucking question. And what's the energy and the spirit?
You know what? I just not to interrupt you, because what you're saying is very interesting, and I'm going to tie some stuff in really quick, because I've heard some stuff, and matter of fact, I do look at that porn site that you're talking about, so I know what the fuck you're talking about right there. And so, and the funny thing is this, I'm going to tie in the conscious community for a moment, just for a hot moment, and here's where it is. We have to understand that, and I talked about this, starting in the 90s, there was a shift, and there was a shift in energy, there was a shift with this whole metrosexual. There was a whole shift in this whole body thing, right? And then when we tie in the conscious community within that, what is that? Because the reason why I'm tying in the conscious community is because niggas have always had this fucking energy where they're very fucking judgy. I'm talking about niggas. They judge you in weight. They judge you in every fucking thing you do. And they always have these fucking standards. And that shit is actually orchestrated by fucking white folks, because they think, okay, white people have these standards, so should we. Now, here's the funny thing is, now I'm going to whip in the conscious community. Now, the conscious community tore down all those energies, right, and then created this world. They created a world for Kevin Samuels, was it Tommy Sotomayor, whatever his name is, but for all these black men to sit up and critique black women. But we need to go. Remember, I went back to Tariq Nasheed, whatever, when he was doing all of his little shows and so on and Mac Lessons. And people should go back and listen back then, because that was the first Kevin Samuels. Let's keep it real and keep it 1,000, okay? Because he would sit up on his Mac Lessons, judge women about their weight, their complexion, their hair, where to find other type of women. Then we had Tommy, who was up there ragging on, of course, women. However, now in the last couple of years, now let's go to Atlanta, because I just heard this information today. Now, Sandy and I, we're both from San Francisco. I understood in San Francisco, if you were built a certain way, you were in a certain subculture in the gay community. If you were built, you were this. If you were smaller, you were this. It all had categories. If you were a big guy, you were considered a bear. It was just all these energies, right? So then I heard, now I'm going to go into what I call gay slumming. Now, in the conscious community, they were putting out a lot of prostitution, a lot of gay men, a lot of trans, and then a lot of black females who are running around here also fucking on white boys too, okay? And white boys have a fixation of what they call, I'm going to call it eat and come, or basically feeding off of ejaculation, okay? So then we have a swarm of black men who are in Atlanta. Some of them came out to California. Then that COVID happened. So I guess these entertainers or whosoever can't feed off these niggas anymore. So then now I heard that in Atlanta, they have a Pacific group. I had heard about this group. Now back in the day, they used to do this with women. You can't come to this party unless you were this color, this complexion, this size. Well, guess what? Now it's happening also in the gay community too, where it's this whole subculture. You got to be built this way, look like this. Matter of fact, you may not even be invited to a party because you are, a big guy. You have to have this airy energy about yourself, okay? So there's these new subcultures of judgment, hypocrite bullshit, this nigga body shaming bullshit that's going on is happening not only in the heterosexual community, but it's also happening in the gay community. And when I was very shocked to hear the energies in Atlanta, where they have no culture, no substance, no thought, barely have education. All they doing is sucking up ejaculation all up in their ass, and in some cases giving their ejaculation to energies. But it's like a weird facade. There's no energy in it. You have the gay slumming where there's this whole energy of they have mounted of looking like women, looking like black women, but having to also, if you really look at it, a white man energy, having that mounted on top of white men and a white woman, because there's all these gay black men acting like fucking white women.
And not to mention a lot of, and some of these straight, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Ben, do you got something to say?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I was going to say that, first of all, I want to go back to when he first said that gay men have that same attitude toward other gay men that are overweight as heterosexual, I couldn't believe that, because it's like that's a lot of audacity. But what I wanted to say was we also have to look at the kind of people that are having this behavior. And their class level, their education, who they are as people that are behaving that way. Because any upstanding, sophisticated, any person with any kind of sophistication or any kind of intelligence wouldn't do that. I think it's more
okay.
of a, it's more, when I think about who insulted me when I was, you know, a young adult and stuff as far as my weight, it wasn't anyone that was of any kind of, it wasn't people that were of substance, let me put it that way. It was always a low-level person that was insulting
yep.
towards me and judging
yep.
me. And it's like, how fucking dare you? You ain't got shit going on, so all you can do is insult me or judge me or, you know, put all these labels on me and shit. And that's the same thing today. It's usually numbskulls, because when you look at the people in the conscious community, they all are either, they're all unintelligent. I mean, not, they're not educated. They're not college educated. Some of them might even be
okay.
prison educated. So it's like,
mm-hmm.
how can you take anything that they say seriously? But yet
mm-hmm.
we do, because we allow it to affect ourselves. And we don't think
mm-hmm.
about the source of where it's coming from. And usually they're dumping their shit on top of us because of their own jealousies or whatever. And
mm-hmm.
I think, you know, we have to look at that and the source of where it's coming from. But all that came in with these conscious, low-level, inferior people.
Niggas.
Niggas, yeah. They brought all of this in. They ushered in, you know, hoe, being a hoe. Because, you know, back in the day, if you're going to be a hoe, you kind of be a hoe undercover. Not everybody knew you was a hoe. It's just like stripping and shit. They brought that and made it mainstream.
Mm-hmm.
Stripping, girls went to school and paid for their college education by, some of them did strip, but you didn't know they were fucking stripping. You know what I mean? Now it's okay. Now you have celebrities marrying hoes. You have celebrities making hoes the priority. You have
that's very interesting,
celebrities
but that's,
marrying hoes.
But that's very interesting what you're saying, because what and 'cause I'm going to take this call in a minute. What's very interesting about what you're saying is that you're saying celebrities have basically pushed an agenda to marry hoes. They pushed out strippers. They having babies by these hoes. They're making it a fad and a trend. What's that porn star that you and Mark Anthony keep talking about that all these niggas like, that Trump trip? What's her name? Tiana Trump? Okay, so you have this chick named Tiana Trump that my sons be looking at her and shit. Stop being embarrassed, because you do. And these entertainers are like liking her like that. They pushing her out there. What about that porn chick that looked like a whole dude that Obama and them were following? Remember that one, that white girl
yeah.
with the red hair?
Yeah.
That was she was
yeah.
Stranger Danger. Okay.
Yeah.
And guess what? It goes for gay men too, because they pushing a whole energy out there. It's like
yep.
the smut out.
But you know what? They're not
you know?
Being insulted though. They're not being insulted, nor are they being judged. You have...
No, they're not.
I,
no, they're not. Oh, wait a minute. Let me get this caller. Wait, I'm sorry, Sandy.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Hi, caller.
Hello?
Hello? Yes?
Hello? Oh,
hi.
I'm on?
Yes.
Oh, hi. I was trying to allude to the Illuminati thing.
Okay.
So I first... heard about the Illuminati thing and YouTube since, like, 2010.
Yeah.
And I heard about, like, you know, Young Pharaoh and, you know, Professor Griff talking about it. That's the first thing I heard of the Illuminati. And they were talking about the sign that celebrities throw. Like, the, you
yeah.
know, those all-C&I signs. And there would be under MK Ultra and stuff. And, like, afterwards, like, years later, I see them throwing the same sign. So, and it's like they're kind of, like, give this concubine energy. So, yeah.
Okay, I'm going to address that. Thank you, caller.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. Okay, so before I address that, do anybody have anything to finish up with the other conversation? Because I think
I just wanted to address what Sandy said, and just to kind of add to that, that she's making a very, very true, valid point when she says that, you know, it's always people who are on a subhuman standard, or who live within a subhuman standard, or who have a diseased subconscious mind, who are trying to judge people. Because let me just put it out there. Everybody knows by now, who knows me as Sia Grant, that I had a relationship with Marion Barry's son, Christopher Barry, before he died. And he was a nice-looking guy. And even though he had the problems that he had, he was highly educated. And he never once judged me about my body size. He never made me feel as if though I was beneath him or anything. So Sandy is absolutely right. We have to look at the source and the character or the lack of character of these people who are doing this. A lot of them don't have character. Like she said, they don't have no education. A lot of them can't even put two fucking sentences together, let alone anything else. So she's right. That's absolutely right. It's always been the niggas from over there in Southeast D.C. That's where that's the hood and the lower expectation part of D.C. It's always been them motherfuckers that got something to say about somebody's weight and body size.
But I have a question. Now I'm going to be a little devil's advocate.
Okay.
You are a Virgo, right? With a touch of, I'm going to say, of Leo, which I'm going to say you're water and earth, but with a touch of Leo, I'm going to say fire and air. Sandy is fire and air, okay? And so it's very interesting. So you look at it from that bracket as it's the blame on the other energies, right? So I'm going to look at it in the energies of, I'm going to say, in spirit, right? So if I'm looking at it in spirit, but I'm really going to look at the real root of it all is your family, because nobody out in the street should be able to tell you a motherfucking thing. So if your family ain't right to give you that foundation to put you on a hierarchy, then you're easily to get caught the fuck up with the conscious community who will create a family. Because if your family tears you down, then what the fuck, the conscious community is going to sound really going to sound right. Because if you are bourgeois or boule and you up here in this hierarchy, but your family is tearing you down because they feel that you're not equipped or you're not up to par or your weight isn't this or you got to be this size or you look like that or you this complexion or your hair is like that and this and that, then you got your brothers or sisters, why you fat like that? Why you look like this? Then after that, you feel inadequate. You don't feel up to par. Then after that, you may make a decision, well, maybe I don't want to go to Harvard, or I don't want to go, I'm just talking, Spelman. Maybe I want to go to this school. Oh, why you doing that? Are you stupid? What's going on? You doing this, you doing that. So then they lower you down to a level. So then you get this new breed of conscious community that feeds into you and talks into you, not at you, because your family talks at you, then you start to feel it, but this conscious community talks into you because you feel a kinship. So therefore, like she brought up Professor Griff. She brought up that young Pharaoh nigga. Professor Griff talked into me because I understood what the fuck he's saying. However, he pulled me in, which I understood his foundation because it sounded real, it sounded right. Tariq Nasheed did the same thing. He spoke into me, but I didn't realize all along that nigga was tearing me down. You see what I mean? So then the conscious community pulled me in position where I can understand what they're saying, how they're saying it, making me feel good, make me feel away, make me feel like a revolutionist. But in reality, they were really putting me under psychosis and making me broke, poor in so many ways while they're making money off of me. That's real shit. They fed and hit into my psychological brain and made me think certain things. So therefore, that as you guys call him Kitten Heel, he sound real. He sound right because I heard that shit in my family. I heard that shit from niggas in the street. So what's the difference if I'm hearing it over here from my brothers and cousins than from me hearing it from this nigga? So then that makes it right what the fuck he's saying. Shit, if I'm up here paying niggas because I can't find a nigga in my upper echelon, what is it for me to go pay these conscious niggas money and they up here skimming and scamming? You see what I mean? So we
yeah.
have to look
yeah.
at the core.
Yes. Yes, I see exactly what you're saying.
Okay. So that's yes. why I said, okay, I feel and I see what you're saying. But looking at it from another perspective, as black people, we tear each other down to smithereens. Ain't no other
right.
motherfuckers will sit up there and tear their asses down. For example, you feel a ways because you get these niggas that want to sit up there and fuck around and be judgy and have the audacity to be discriminatory. And I mean the audacity. But these are the same niggas that will sit up and be in an orgy party getting fucked up the ass back to back, back to back, back to I know it because I've heard it. Back to back, back to back, back to back. No class, no energy, no nothing, passing around energy, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Then
yep.
after that, you get these lame niggas that be on the same shit as the game. But here's the commonality: they're black. Doesn't matter
they're
gay. Doesn't matter they're heterosexual. They're black.
That's right. That's right. And then they'll come into the conscious community, condemning homosexuality. But behind the scenes, and I'm just throwing this out there, but behind the scenes, they're having whole relationships with Asian and white men. As a matter of fact, I'm thinking about a situation that happened this happened years ago, where this well-known conscious guy, I cannot think of his name, but he was well-known in the revolutionary conscious community, and
mm-hmm.
he was married to a black woman, and come to find out, he was meeting his lover. If I'm not mistaken, he was meeting him out there in San Francisco, his Asian lover, and someone found
Ooh.
Out about it, busted him out.
Damn.
You know, so it's a whole, like you said, it's a whole lot of energies to go with this. But when you said my family, I gasped because that hit home, because that's right. They were the first people to tear me down. And not necessarily
mm-hmm.
about weight, but to tear me down in general. So you are
mm-hmm.
absolutely right. That really is,
mm-hmm.
see, that spirit, you're absolutely
mm-hmm.
right. When you absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Because just to answer that lady's question that called in the caller, and she's talking about the Illuminati. Here's what makes very interesting what she's saying. We really don't understand really what the fuck is going on. We just understand what I'm seeing is that this is fire and air energy and it's all ritual and everybody's under ritual. Now, she brought up Professor Griff. I thought about Professor Griff and I had a respect for Professor Griff, but then I started thinking, hold on, Public Enemy, New York, oh shit, Dr. York. You see what I mean? Everything is connected
mm-hmm.
to Dr. York. And where his energy is. Now, I'm going to be real, y'all. I'm under the spirit of jealousy because I was over there minding my business, and Tariq Nasheed popped up on my damn shit. And I'm like, this nigga suited and booted in his car looking right. What the fuck? You know? Wait a minute. What the fuck is So you know what I'm talking about, right? So this nigga suited and booted and fronting this shit, showing the wealth and showing the energy. But all along, he's part of this supposed, I'm going to call it the nigga Illuminati. You see what I mean? And he's stupid as fuck, but he's a pansy because he's uneducated, because he don't understand. I'm speaking real, speaking right. I thought about that shit. He's a pansy because he's a pansy for air and fire magic. Because they use you. They use you for all type of shit. In a minute, they're going to throw your ass away. You see, I see it. So I said, oh, he's suited and booted. Now he's suited and booted more than ever. What the fuck are we missing here? So you have this whole conscious Illuminati energy, and she's right. They sat up and talked against the shit, but they with the shit.
That's what I'm talking about. That's exactly what I'm talking about. They speak out against it, but behind the scenes, well, it was behind the scenes, but now, shit, they don't even try to be discreet about it anymore. They let you know how they get down now. They let you know.
Think about this. I brought up the energies of Atlanta, and I brought up their little subculture. And their subculture is very it's very sexual, okay? And you are in the industry. Everything is sexual, from heterosexual women. Everything is sexual. What are you thinking is going on with the gay community, especially in Atlanta, where it's this whole discriminatory energy of you have to be this body size, you got to look like this, you got to look like that. But then when you speak to the men, they have no substance, no brain, they're dingy, but then they're very judgy. Like what you're saying is that, well, we're not going to mess with you. Matter of fact, we're going to exclude you up out of our world because you're fat. And we need to look this way because whatever they're doing, whatever that ritual is, but this is our world. Then when you get to talking to them, you're like, okay, so what do you think about Joe Biden? They ain't got shit to say to you.
No. No, they don't have any spirit. They have, you know, how can I put this? Because, you know, this is something that I have been, you know, kind of pondering about for a long time. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a difference, and I don't want to piggyback too much off of this, but I have to bring him up because he made a point, mm-hmm. a very valid point. Do you remember when Bobby mm-hmm. Heenan used to talk about gatekeepers and gay people?
Yes.
Do you remember that? A long time ago? Okay. You see, a lot of these gay people now, and I'm speaking about black gay people in particular, there's a total difference between a gatekeeper and a gay person. And what's happening is now is, and this ties into what you're saying about the lack of substance and the lack of spirit, especially in your last few videos when you were talking about the gay slumming and stuff. A lot of the black gay men now, they don't invest in their spirit anymore the way that our gay ancestors did. See, they invested in their spirit, and they were not just about carnal and materialism. Does that make sense? They invested more so in the right side. Let me just, to be layman, the right side of their brain, which is the more feminine and divine feminine energy, natural divine feminine energy. Not how y'all smelling, girl, and all that old backwards, you know, and none of that. No, real.
You're right.
That's true.
What we're really seeing now, now is, and this includes the niggas over there in that motherfucking conscious community, all of them. I ain't got to name no motherfucking names. All of them. I must put it like that. All of them. They are operating from their demon side, their daemon side, which is the left side of their brain, masculine energy, light, and knowledge. But the problem is, and this ties into gay men, black gay men as well, this is the same for them, but the problem is it's like having a car with no engine. The car is the knowledge, but the engine is the divine wisdom, and that comes from the feminine energy. And if you don't have that move, the wisdom is what moves you. But if you don't have the wisdom, you're just sitting in a car that's not moving. And they are operating in their lower demonic half. They're operating on that lower. They can give out all the knowledge they want. You can give out all the book knowledge you motherfucking want, but they lack wisdom. And like I said, all of them, they lack the wisdom which comes from you and Sandy and other black women.
Wow.
They lack the wisdom, and that's the problem. That is why they're so greedy and so disrespectful, because they're not balanced, because they're operating from the masculine intellect left side. Now, I know intellect is important, but when intellect without wisdom is absolutely dangerous, and it's useless.
Yeah. Yeah.
Real shit. Okay, I have a caller. I'm going to click them in just a moment.
Okay.
Hi, caller. How are you?
Hey, Wayward. Hey, Cindy. Hey, you too. What's up?
Hi, how you doing? What's going on?
I'm doing good, thank you. I want to just talk about two things real quick. The first thing was you guys were talking about...
You sound like you're talking in a dungeon. Are you in a dungeon?
Can y'all hear me? No, not because I'm at work. He's down the chain.
Oh,
shit.
Okay.
We're doing that.
Okay.
So the first thing, I remember in the video you was talking about, and I know why you brought this up, because I remember the video. It was this boy on TikTok. I think his name was Miami Boy K or something. He was basically expressing his frustration about people in within the community, you know, black niggas, I guess, not wanting nothing to do with him because he's feminine, right? And then he was like, well, in that case, I might as well just go. I basically, he was saying I would rather be fetishized in that case. And I was like, damn, you know, and a lot of people, you know, felt the ways about it and had shit to say and whatever like that. And I was like, okay. But the thing what people don't understand is, and this even connects shit to me, to you, Sandy, to Gabby Sidibay, all types of shit. And the thing is with that is, it's like, I'm not going to say he was right, but I'm not going to say he was wrong. Because the part I felt what he was saying, because it is true. A lot of the times when niggas don't want to deal with you, especially if you are a certain type of black person, whether you are savage, if you're a little bit feminine, whatever the case may be, niggas don't want to fuck with you. So then you go over and you may want to date a white boy, or you fuck with somebody else, not necessarily being fetishized if you worded it wrong, but when you just want to fuck with them, then it's like, oh, why you want to fuck with them? And then it's like the whole time, niggas want to focus on me, niggas don't worry about me. Then you want to go over and do something else. It's like all of this backlash. Even last night, I was watching a video. I don't even know if I was listening to this. Either. I was watching a video of T.S. Madison's ex-manager, and she even brought it up, and she was like, to Gio's mama. She was like, Gio. And so he said that she even felt away about me dating a white man. He brought that up, and I was like, damn, I sat on that. And she said to his mama, do you know Gio is dating a white boy? And just look. And I was like, oh, wow. But see, that's funny because it's like we always look at differently when we want to step outside. And not even step outside, but it's just like, I mean, what do you do when niggas don't want to fuck with you?
That's interesting.
Well,
I can't even ask.
And then the other thing, the weight thing, I wanted to talk about, DC brought something up too. I was talking to this dude on Grindr, right? And this is something that I wasn't really aware of. So me being like, okay, so I'm a skinny dude, I'm 22. And really, I'm not even going to lie, I like this man. That's usually what I go for. You know, I really don't go for too many skinny guys. I don't know, it's just something about it. So I was talking to this guy one day, and we were just having a conversation or whatever like that. And he, the conversation started, you know, getting sexual. But it kind of went a different place I wasn't expecting. It's something I never experienced. I had never been aware of like a food fetish or like basically the other person, the taster, basically encouraging you to eat more. So he brought up a situation. He was like, what was the
situation?
To eat
what?
And I heard
eat what? Did he say manure?
No. He brought up a hypothetical situation.
Oh,
so he said, if
okay.
he was in a room and if I was eating a salad, what would you do? And I'm like, I'm like, nothing. But he's basically like, well, you wouldn't tell me to get some wings or something like that. And I was like, well, I never thought about that. And I was just kind of weirded out, and I stopped talking to him. Because I'm like, damn, no big dude that I've ever talked to has ever wanted me to fetishize them to eat more and get bigger. Never. I was like, oh. I mean, that's kind of different. I just kind of stopped talking to him, but that was really weird. I had never experienced nothing like that. A bigger person wanted me to, I don't know, like, perpetuate or basically encourage him to eat more.
What?
Oh, my God.
And I was kind of like, okay. Yeah,
and
this was a white boy, and this was a whole white man. I was just like, okay.
Oh.
But,
not surprising.
So, yeah,
not surprising.
I'm going to talk about because it is common that, like, a lot of the time, when you want to step outside, oh, why are you fucking with the white boy? Then it's like, niggas, they don't really want to fuck with you. And then the funny thing is, the white boy, this other thing, too, with that Miami boy. If he had gray hair, he had a lip gloss. He's a feminine black boy from Miami, so you already know what he is. So the thing is with that, when he was like, well, I would rather do some fetish shots. Well, nigga, joke's on you because the white boys, they don't even be like this feminine black boys all like that. Most of the time, actually, what I really find, the white boys be wanting to date regular niggas. Honestly, they just be wanting to date regular niggas most of the time who aren't feminine, but that's only in some cases. But it's like, it was just the way that he said it, like, well, I would rather just be fetishized, basically.
Okay, so we're going to answer your stuff in a minute. I'm going to take this other caller because I have some stuff to say, and I'm sure everybody else has some shit to say. Thank you for calling in.
You're welcome.
All right.
Oh, my. Jesus, take the wheel. Hi, caller.
Hey, hello.
Caller. Hi, how are you?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Oh, okay. So I just want to double back to what Seer Grant said about...
Oh, I know who that is. I know exactly who that is.
Oh,
I know who
what?
That is. I know who that is.
Okay.
That's
so,
the he's heterosexual. He's the friend that I told you that we had a conversation about, certain things in the conscious community. Remember I text you about the, what I'm talking about, right? Remember that text I sent you? That's him. Yeah, he's heterosexual, but I know that is. Okay.
Okay.
So about these dudes that's in the conscious community that gain an ego because they're gaining a following and they're kind of making money off of this conscious community. We also have to look at the females behind them also.
Mm.
And there's one in particular, Brother Panic.
Okay.
And his better half. We also have to look at these females enabling this shit to happen. I mean, the female's supposed to be the wisdom behind the knowledge, right? So
that's
why
true.
Aren't these women pulling their coattail and getting them in check? And number two, what the last caller was talking about, I mean, that is what he was talking about. That is a big fetish, and a lot of straight white guys will pay other women for them to just eat and eat on camera to make themselves bigger. So, I mean, that's a whole underground subculture. A motherfucker's paying so women can get fat. And then they just toss them to the side and move on to the next one.
Wow. Okay. Okay.
That's all I got.
Okay. So I wrote down something because it was something very interesting you said. Okay, caller. Now, wait, we have one more person because I want Sandy to answer that fat fetish stuff. Hi, caller. Caller?
Hello?
Hello? Yes, hi.
Hey. Hey, how y'all doing?
Hi.
How you doing?
Hey, hey.
How are you?
Good. Hey, I'm a long-time listener, first of all, so I know where you're coming from. But I want to piggyback off the young man that was on the phone talking about having sex outside of his race or trying to get a relationship outside of his race, right?
Okay.
My thing is this. I'm probably one of the squarest same gender loving people you'll ever meet in life. You know what I'm saying? So I've had my encounters. Don't get me wrong, but as I've gotten older and more into, you know, ancestors and spirit and all that kind of thing, you know what I'm saying? It's a part of me at this point in stage in life. Now, granted, I am 38. I'll be 39 this year. I just feel like I can't let my oppressors fuck me or fuck my oppressor. I don't know if that's my soul. I don't know if that's the ancestors. I don't know what that is. You know what I'm saying? But it's just like I'd rather be by myself or try to find somebody that looks like me than to genetically entangle with another species, if you will.
Another species. Okay. So thank you for calling.
Is that wrong or?
No, it's not wrong. It's not wrong. But what's also very interesting, because a lot of things are rolling through my head, and it's rolling through my head because then to me it's like a fetish. And to be honest with you, I remember in the 80s, and I used to look at what we call, what's it, gay porn, because I used to look at it all. And
right.
You did not see black men with white boys, okay?
Right.
It was ever so often, and it was a fetish. And
right.
the interesting part of it is that then I really started seeing it more in the millennium, more of the fetish. Right. It was the cock holding and these fantasies. Then it became this whole other energy where you have a black man going after white boys. Remember I talked about that whole Howard University stuff when the gay guys ended up on campus?
And you really
got to go back to Sister Soulja book when she talked about her ex-boyfriend who was up there, you know, having sex with white men or getting paid and all that other stuff. So where did it become a thing to have sex with white men? Is it for wealth? Is it for money? Is it an anything? Because the conscious community also brought that level up shit where you go stop doing it or stop having relationships with black men and then target white men.
Right.
Okay.
But you know what? I feel like all that was being pushed, honestly, in my heart. I feel like that was being pushed when the HBOs and all that started coming out. You know what I'm saying? When
you mean like the real
and
sex
I think it's,
and all that?
The real sex after dark and all that kind of shit. You know what I'm saying? I think that's when it started. And it started with the white woman and the black man. And somehow it's flipped to the gay community.
Yep. He's right.
It was programming.
But let me throw this out. Now, I heard this from another gay guy. He said in reality, when they said that porn, but what they call it, the biracial porn, they said
right.
that when you see the black man with the white woman is really your first gay introduction through heterosexual, because they said white women do shit that gay men do. What do you think about
they do.
That meaning when it comes up? Yeah, okay.
I can see that opening in the door. I could totally see that opening on a door in a black man's mind to like, oh, that's some shit that my girl wasn't named down for. Let's see. I could see that.
That's absolutely accurate because when a lot of times when – because you know what I do for a living, and a lot of the white men that I talk to on the phone, they have these fantasies of being directed either by a white woman or a black woman to engage in gay acts. This is a definite fetish and fantasy for them. And then a lot of times, how black men became introduced sometimes to homosexuality with white men is through cuckolding. What will happen is a lot of it is trickery and manipulation. What will happen is they'll get over to the white couple's house, for example. They'll get over to the white couple's house. And then the white man will change the script and say, hey, look, the only way I'll let you get some of this white pussy, because, you know, no offense, but niggas, they're so fucking desperate for fucking white pussy a lot of times, they will do anything. So he'll say, oh, okay, if you want to fuck my wife, you got to let me suck your dick, or you have to fuck me too. And a lot of times them niggas will oblige to that. I'm not going to say all of them, but some of them, they will.
And to piggyback with this young man is saying,
I lost my train of thought. Something I was getting ready to say. He was saying something about how I'll remember it.
Okay. But caller, thank you.
Appreciate you.
Thank you. I just want to throw this out really quick. Because I want Sammy to answer some fetishes. Now, I'm always going to talk about the conscious community. We also have to, because remember, they were talking about Queen Afua's son being, was it bisexual, right?
And a lot of the
females in the conscious community are lesbians. And they will have sex with men, but it's always some kind of bisexuality. But if it's a conscious community, isn't it supposed to be about reproducing? Where is this whole, and I'm not being disrespectful, but I'm talking about, isn't it supposed to be a thing of life, the evolution and all this energy? So when we look in the conscious community, there's a lot of homosexuality going on. And when somebody was giving me information talking about a lot of them niggas that we're looking at are on there being gay and shit, and some of them are sleeping with each other, okay? But when you throw that out there, they act like that shit isn't happening, but it is happening. It's happening among the women, okay?
Right.
So let's really look at it. Let's look at it for what it is. Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's funny that you say that, and I'm getting ready to say something that's going to be really, really fucked up, and people may not like it. I'm not talking about you and Sandy, of course, but I'm just saying people, they ain't going to like it, and I don't give a fuck. But I just wanted to prepare. Now, Dr. Omar Johnson, you know, I know how he feels about gay people, but I'm not going to throw the baby out with the bathwater. I ain't got nothing against him personally because I don't know him. But what you said something very, very interesting. Because remember when you were talking about Dr. York and how he was separating the men and the women and putting the men and the boys over here and the women and the girls over here and all that type of stuff? Do we really have to reevaluate that? Because I'm gonna be going back to Omar Johnson, he wanted to open up an all boys school, right? Now with no girls in it, right? With no girls, right? I just want to be clear. Okay.
So, of course, there's going to be no homosexuality there, right?
You're going to open up so all boys schools don't mess around with each other, right? And all girls they don't get curious and mess around with each other. So that's what I'm saying. Do we have to reevaluate when they want to separate?
No, I need a cocktail, an extra dry martini right now with some good ass olives in it. Because that ties into what you're saying about reproducing.
Because if you're separating boys and girls, and I'm a gay person saying this, if you're separating boys and girls, how come you think there won't be any homosexuality taking place? I'm just saying, do we have to reevaluate that?
Morehouse.
I wasn't ready for that.
I said Morehouse. Have you seen the fraternity?
Yeah.
Now, I haven't paid attention to them, but I can imagine.
Shit. Sandy, wait a minute. Can you go with that fetish? Can you answer that question? Because you was trying to say something with that. Because I got to sit on what he just said right there with that Umar Johnson.
No, I was just going to, I think he has said that there are straight white men that pay women to eat. And there is some white men do actually, I remember I had a coworker, but she was Filipina, and she went out with a white guy, and he kept buying all his food. He wanted her to keep eating, and she was distressed because she was like, "Why are you trying to get me to eat so much food?" And he said, "I like women to eat and be overweight. That is true.
Oh,
they are into that."
Mm-hmm.
That is a serious fetish, but you know.
Oh goodness! Let me get this caller. Hi, caller. Hello.
Hello.
Yes. Hi.
Oh, hey, it's LM. Hey. Hey.
How are you?
And then, like, what was y'all talking about?
What? Okay. I'm going to put you on hold for a moment, and then okay. Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. Let me get this.
What is she saying?
I got a question.
Yes.
I got a question. How come Kush didn't call? Kush didn't call?
That might have been him. Shit on bullshit.
You know,
we asked him to call in, so I don't know. Go ahead.
I want to go back to the guy that just called and was talking about the interracial relationships. And what I want to add is, because I've made it perfectly clear, I date every fucking body. I don't give a fuck. And my thing is, you have a conscious community that their sole purpose and mission is to tear down, degrade, and humiliate black women.
Yeah.
Black women of substance. Black women of sophistication and wisdom and of standing. That is their sole purpose. I don't care who it is. Their sole purpose is to tear down black women. And I've seen kitten heels do that shit to an educated woman that had a business, and he tried his best to tear that woman down. There is a hatred and a jealousy of black women that are successful, black women that have sense, black women that are elevated. And when you have women like that, if they want a black man, they don't have anything to choose from, because you may have decent black men that are educated and of sophistication. You may have them dating others.
Mm-hmm.
You may have them that some of them might be gay. So the pool for women is small. And if you have this community tearing down those women, they're not tearing down the whores. They're tearing down women of substance to the point of where no other man will want to fuck with them because of a certain image that they want on top of black women. So you have black women that refuse to be alone and refuse to date beneath them. So they have to go and look outside of their race and find a man that's on their level. You may, I can't speak on the gay community because I'm not gay, but I'm going to speak on heterosexual, I want to speak on myself. If I want to be treated a certain way and I can't find a black man that's willing to treat me the way that I want to be treated, then I'm going to go find that man elsewhere. If it is for me, I may want a black man of substance, but he may not want me. He may want Becky. He may want Rabbit. He may want Lucy Liu. He may want anybody except for a black woman. So what is a black woman supposed to do? Be alone? That's ridiculous.
Basically.
No. Why should a black woman be alone because of the fact that she's holding to this idea of, oh, I have to have a black man? First of all, and let me say this, we all got some white up in us, okay?
Right.
So at some point, you have to look, how do you know spiritually? Because sometimes it comes with who you connect spiritually with. And that person may not necessarily be a black person, all right? Because we all are mixed up. Our DNA is mixed up. You know what I'm saying? So you may not be able to connect spiritually with a black man that's on your level. You may have to find that man, whether he might be Native American, he might be European, he might be Asian, he might be Hawaiian, he might be whatever. I don't feel a black woman should totally cut herself off. And you have this whole community that is, their whole purpose is to tear down black women so that they are alone. But meanwhile, they're over here with every race under the sun. And men.
That's a hypocrite. Let me take this caller because I want to kind of address what Sandy is saying. Just a moment.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Hi.
I'm good. I was calling. This is my first time calling in, but I've been listening for a while. So I know you guys were talking about the food, the food thing. They have like a whole genre of porn where they just like throw food, like smearing food on people. It's like a whole entire genre that they just be like throwing stuff, and they on a plastic sheet and they throwing all kind of food on the people, and it's like a whole entire bunch of porn like that.
This is not shit.
Oh, it's that.
I've seen that. Oh my gosh, that's a cold fetish.
Yes, it is. And I was, I know you were talking about the conscious community, and I was, well, I have a relative of mine who's a pimp, and like his whole entire, the way he functions and gets down energies and everything that goes on in his household, it's like four girls, they live together in the household, and they function like the same way Polite does, and so, girls.
Mm-hmm.
They function the same exact manner. Actually, I'm in Vegas, and that whole Melly Mel and all that, and with Tia Wilson was talking about, and I was my cousin was in that junk.
Okay.
Yeah, they was so they was running just like Polite, pretty much running a lot of that. The Polite, the women run everything. They pull all their money in the household. If you are pleased enough, you get a baby, you get this, you get that. If you ain't just pleased, you get your butt beat. So a lot of stuff that Tia was talking about, she was on point. It's just she had to come into, like you said, come into her own truth. She was trying to, she knew a lot more than, she had a lot more information. Like you said, she had a lot more information than Tasha K did.
She was too busy trying not to be truthful with her own energies, of her own sexual energies. And that's bottom line. And I'm like, tell your fucking truth. And I had somebody hit me up and said I shouldn't even gave her accolades and her class because they calling her all type of phonies. But the bottom line is that I'm saying she should outright say what it is. But how can you say what it is if you're fucking part of it? You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So that's mm-hmm. the part that I was saying when Spirit was like, no, let it play itself out, because you will look at Tia Wilson as, ooh, a victim. But then when you really start to look at it, you're like, wait a minute, you're part of this shit. You know the what's up. You know the game. It goes on that same energy as that Flair Burn chick who tries to speak so intellectual, knowing she's what she's doing. They're all connected.
Yeah.
Yes. But thank you, caller.
Yeah. Oh, you're welcome.
Thank you.
Enjoy.
Thank you. Bye.
You mean while she has her titties out?
Oh, shit. Oh, no, you're back. Hi, caller. Hello?
Hello? Okay, yeah.
Yes,
so I have something else to say. So, because what he said kind of bothered me, and the other caller bothered me too. So, stop, like, because some of y'all, I'm going to be real. Now, some of y'all is kind of slow, because this is just irritating. Y'all see the fucking topic on Blog Talk. Y'all see it on YouTube.
Shit.
Y'all, you posted a minute and a half video. You posted it earlier. You talked about it. This is what the topic's going to be. It's in the description. It's on the label website. And y'all should be calling. What are you talking about? Stop that shit. That's irritating. Y'all be, whatever. Stop. Anyway, second thing. We're
thank
Alexis
you.
Pilot. I knew she was the shit. 6 months ago, when you posted that DNS Bruno Mars video, when you mentioned and you brought it up and you just said, she hit me up about those interviews. And when you said that, I said, I knew it was on some bullshit even then, and I knew something was going to come out of it. Because what I said was, I said, she be on live talking all these 3-4 hours, zoned out ass celebrity fake ass readings, and you ain't never mentioned Wade, you ain't never mentioned nobody else. So I felt like even then it was a little shady that, you know, she never even brought up that talk. Oh, and when you brought it up on your video and she didn't bring it up, I said, oh, something gonna come out of this, because I never even knew that they spoke or that they was even affiliated or anything like that. And I said, oh, something's gonna come out of this. Another thing I wanted to say about that dude who just he was talking about not dating his oppressor. That rubbed me the wrong way. And as I'm sitting there listening in my spirit, I'm gonna be real, that was like really turning me. Because this is the word and the way that he said it. He said, I don't want to have my oppressor fuck me. And when he was saying that, I was like, damn, what happened to you? So to that caller, you got to dig into what really happened to you and why you feel like that, because that's strong as fuck to say that you don't want your oppressor fucking you. So what happened to you? Because you need to really dig into that. And another thing is, I'm going to just throw this out there because Layla brought this up. Like, you know, black women, y'all sit around all these times waiting on a nigga. You just answered your own question. Sir, you 38, so how much longer are you going to continue to wait on a nigga? And that's no shade, but I'm just saying, you are 38, so how much longer are you going to wait around to find somebody like you? And what happened to you and why you feel like that? But that's it, because I was just feeling that as you were saying that.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. You know what? I think it's very interesting just to answer his question on maybe the reason why he said the other caller there, not impressed, but you know what I'm trying to say, why did you not say anything?
I don't know what you're talking about. You talking about the
I'm talking about the last caller. And he was talking about the white man being, is it impressor or suppressor? What's that word?
He said oppressor.
What is it?
Oppressor,
okay.
He didn't want to fuck with his
oppressor. So here's what it is. And that kind of in reality piggybacks on what Sandy is saying as for going out of your race or your ethnicity and dating. That and I understand what he's saying. I even understand what Sandy's saying. I fuck with black men, okay? But at the same time, I am a realist. I see shit. What it is that because of the history and slavery and the enslavement of us and the torture of us and the sexual energies that has been put upon us, it's hard for some individuals to go out and date what we call the oppressor. Because through that energy, especially it doesn't matter if you're heterosexual, it doesn't matter if you're homosexual. It's just that when it comes up to the oppressor, they have done many harmful things to us sexually. from basically molesting children to harming little girls to when black men got off the slave ship, they were having sex with them, to having sex with them on the ship, to the energies that's going on in Maryland with the incestuous energy of them merging individuals together. It doesn't matter if they mother, brother, son, you know. So when some black people may look at the oppressor, they'll see that white man and see them as a villain. So I get it. So some people can look past that and just look at people as people. But some black people can't get over the history or seeing the brutality and being with someone who has ancestral energies of that type of brutality and then turn around and get involved in these fetishes with them. Or like what our guest said is that, hey, you over here treat me bad or clown on me, but you will go over here and mess with this. Or even black guys will go date white girls. You clown on black women, but these are the same white chicks that sat up, that abused our children and treated them as concubines and murdered them back in the days of Jim Crow and so on in the 1800s, that they had to pass a law for white women to stop killing black children. So that's what it is. It's history. I feel what the other caller is saying, and I understand where it may have rubbed him the wrong way. I understand Sandy's position of, shit, what am I supposed to do? Shit, I was treated better over here by these others than I was treated by my own men. And I feel it. I go through it all the time. You know, and it makes and me who I love my black men, but then I'm like, well, shit, you treat me awful. If over here I got an Indian, a white boy, an Asian on my line or up in my grill or being polite to me or opening the door for me and see me as a female, regardless of what my size is, regardless of who I am, I'm getting more respect over here than I am for my own man.
Do you remember when you and Sandy went to that it was a restaurant that you and Sandy had visited, and Sandy, remember you said that nigga that came in, he didn't even acknowledge you two, but he sat next to a white man and spoke to him. Do you remember that?
Oh, that
I
white woman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right, the white woman.
It was a white woman. I thought it was a white man. He came in and it was a white woman. Okay. But the point is, he didn't even acknowledge the fact that you two were even sitting there. He didn't even speak. See, that's the type of, you know, disrespect that I'm talking about. You know what I'm saying? When it comes to niggas, that type of disrespect, that type of dismissive, you know, attitude right there. Like, where does that come from? So, for me personally, I understand, you know, everybody's, you know, position. You know, I mean, how are you supposed to, you know, continuously deal with black men if they don't treat you right? But then you go over to, you know, others and they're treating you with respect and stuff. But then on the other hand, the caller that called in and said he felt like it was sleeping with his oppressors, I understand what he's saying on a spiritual level, because we hold that trauma, generational trauma, in our DNA. But at the same time, if your own – I'm sorry, what was you going to say?
No, go ahead.
Oh, okay. No, but at the same time, if you're not being treated right by your own people and other people are showing you compassion – and showing you respect, I mean, are you supposed to turn that away? Are you supposed to say, no, I don't want that because you have a different, you know, skin color? You know, it's all left up to the individual and what they want to do. And I don't think that as much as black men date interracially, they need to shut the fuck up about what black women do, okay? Because at the end of the day, black men date out more than black women. And not only do they date out more with white women, they date out more with all women. I'm speaking on you know, for heterosexuals, of course. You know what I'm saying? So I don't want
to
hear that motherfucker. I don't want
to
hear that motherfucking shit.
But to be honest
with
you, But it's happening across the board. The bottom line is that when you do get black people who feel a certain way as for their oppressors, it is called complex PTSD. And you're absolutely correct. It is generational. And I think it's a Dr. DeGroy, I forgot her name, that talked about something like that of that energy and trauma basically being transferred down generations to generations, okay? And so a lot of that is generational. It's like a generational curse. Then it turns into what we call the supposed comedic curse. And the bottom line is that we have to deal with that as black people with those, you know, specific issues. But the thing is that I want to point something out that's very interesting, but I want to say something else quickly because the person that you said that you know had called in and he asked a question because I know it cuts off and I don't think people get to hear this, so he probably has to hear it at the end. He had a question, and that may also tie into the interracial dating, which is very odd. In the conscious community and also in the witchy community, they basically have this energy of we need to have partners. There's an intimidation of a woman who can speak on her own and stand on her own in the spiritual and conscious world. They all try to push them with some kind of man, okay? Mm-hmm. So therefore, he's asking, well, why aren't the women not pulling their coattail? Because the women are under the curses and spells also, because they're only there so the man can pull their energy, their spirit, okay? These bitches know what's going on. They know what the fuck is going on. And the bottom line is that it's all about money. It's all about making a way. It's all about being under some kind of control. It's almost like blue pill and red pill, that whole society they have, that whole comedic energy they have. And all the women are under some kind of command and control. Let's talk about Soleil. Let's look at them all. And they're all under something, or they are connected to some kind of man. Okay, so that's something in the conscious community. Okay, so either the woman is coming in as to lay you down, like Soleil laid Professor Griff down. She laid him down, right? Or you get men coming in laying the woman down because they tried it with me over and over and over. They kept wanting me to partner with this dude, and I'm like, I don't know you, man. Why are you trying to call me with this bullshit? And they put marionette on you, and they doing this on you. And then just like it was this chick named Hood Witch. Next thing you know, she's in IFA, and then she's supported by somebody, man. And then, but the bottom line is that a lot of that is prostitution. A lot of times those sisters don't have consciousness. Or more or less, they're all intertwined in bullshit, okay?
Right.
So they're not, so they are the conscious females are not going to pull the coattail of them brothers. Now here's another part of that is you had a whole other spectrum of the conscious community, which I'm going to call it the dreaded sisters. The dreaded sisters shaved their hair and started wearing wigs, then built this whole society of fucking white men, okay?
Right.
So the end thing was to go look for a white man and fuck him. And these women were also in the conscious community. Okay? So to pull their coattail, they're not going to do that because they're under mind control. They under some shit. It's kind of like that. It's kind of like that voodoo diva chick. She was by herself. Next thing you know, you see her with the dude. You know? But they were concerned about me and what the fuck I was doing. And so when we talk about the conscious community, them niggas be dating now today. Shit, Tariq Nasheed was dating a whole white woman. That Cynthia G put him on blast for that.
Ooh.
I was like, who's this white? Yeah, she had him. She was like, who's this white woman? And then his wife, what isn't she mean?
She's damn near white because Tommy always makes fun of him about that.
was the main one saying you don't have to date American black women. He didn't say go to Africa. He didn't say go to Haiti. He was pointing out Afro-Latinas. He was pointing out Central and South America. You see what I mean? So he was going outward. And the bottom line is that these black guys ain't shit these days. Let's just really put it out there. It doesn't matter if they're heterosexual or gay. It's like what Sandy was saying.
It doesn't matter. Right. Right.
Yeah, because when Sandy was talking about Wendy Williams, what they were saying. And even I was like, wait a minute. Didn't she used to get her ass kicked by her husband?
And humiliated and dehumanized, you know, by him. He brutalized her. That's why she was falling out on stage, and why a lot of her health problems that she acquired was because of that stress. Because I'm going to tell you something. My grandmother, her name was Olga. She died when she was 44 years old of a massive heart attack. Now, she was a heavier set woman, but there are a lot of heavy set women walking around today with no problems. It was because my grandfather, I didn't know this, and see, spirits, they uproot. This is the time for spirits to be uprooting. They uprooting and they talking to people, getting people to put out information. I didn't know that a few weeks before my grandmother had that massive heart attack in 1987, that my step-grandfather had beat her black and blue, and she wasn't feeling well. She wasn't feeling well after that. So the point that I'm making is that, you know, when you're being mistreated and stuff like that, that can bring on health problems, not just about being fat. Stress can bring on health problems as well. You know? Yes. Shit.
Just like Tammy Terrell.
Right. Right. She had a brain aneurysm, if I'm not mistaken. Right?
She did. And yeah. and James Brown, who else? Russ with David Ruffin. And then now I'm
David
hearing
Ruffin.
It was also Marvin Gaye.
I don't think that was true about him though. I thought it was, but I had to go back and research, and then maybe you might have heard something that I didn't hear, but remember I had mentioned that to you.
Else. You did. Got you. Yeah, I heard it too.
Oh,
and the way
okay,
his
path so it
was off
that.
The hinges. Shit.
Right. Right. So, you know, it's not always just about I'm sorry, what were you going to say?
No, go ahead.
No, I was just saying it's not always about a person's body size. It's also about your environment and how you're living and your what do they call that, your standard of living. And my grandmother lived under a lot of stress. She had birth to seven children, most of whom weren't shit, my aunts and uncles, to be honest with you. You know what I mean? And then she had that no good ass husband, you know, who also sexually abused my mother. And I'm tells me that my grandmother knew about that, but she couldn't do anything about it. So all of that was probably on her, you know, all of that stress, and it took her out. And then on top of it, the day that she died, that motherfucker, he was out cheating that night. He didn't come back home till 1 o'clock in the morning. He come pulling into the driveway, just to tell y'all a little story. He come pulling into, this was in 87. I was about 8 or 9 then. So this was before cell phones and shit. You know, he come pulling into the driveway 1 o'clock in the morning, and my uncles went out there and told him that my grandmother had died. That motherfucker had the nerve to fall out in the damn alley. You know, so it's a lot that can bring, you know, people to stress and stuff. It's a lot. It's just a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff that can contribute to people's health and stuff like that. And Wendy Williams, I don't blame her. If that white man is making her happy, then go for it. I don't blame her. Because she was with a monster who happened to be black, who brutalized her and who publicly humiliated her. So I don't blame her. This isn't about staying with somebody that's dehumanizing you. This is about you taking care of your energy and making sure you're with somebody that's going to cherish you and love you. That's what it's really about. But we're just talking about how black men can be hypocrites and how they intertwine all this implicit bias when they want to date people. That's what this is about, you know, implicit bias. And the implicit bias that they have towards other black people across the board, you know?
Real shit. Real shit. And towards black women.
And towards black women specifically. Specifically. Because I remember when I used to speak about this on my old channel that I had, you know, them niggas, they didn't like it. Oh, they were setting up, they even had white women posing as black women to threaten me because they didn't think that a gay messy, they were angry because I was defending black women against their antics and the shit that they were saying. And they felt that because I'm gay, that I should not be speaking on heterosexual matters. Why the fuck not? Because whatever you all go through, it affects us too. So they had an issue with me defending black women. These black men, one of them even worked for the NAACP. He was the head guy in the legal department. He was coming after me on YouTube, and I was saying the same thing that he was saying. I was defending black women against black male bashers, and he got mad about that because I was gay and tried to put me in the same category as Tommy Sotomayor. You know, I drugged him for filth. That was some years back. You know, he works with NAACP. But see, he's also part of what you said, which is your that's perfect, that you came up with, the nigger Illuminati. He's also part
Absolutely. Of that. Absolutely. Absolutely. Because the nigger Illuminati will have you fucked up all the time. And the nigger Illuminati it's always some kind of connection with women. There's always some shit.
Right.
They get mad if anybody else may have any type of spirit or consciousness. They want to make up lies. It's all type of shit. You know, it's all about money and wealth and prosperity. That's why I brought up Tariq Nasheed. I'm like, oh, he's sure looking dapper these days.
Yeah. Is that he lives in some big mansion out there in Los Angeles. He lives in a big mansion out there in L.A.
You
I remember
know,
one time they swatted
people, or allegedly, you know, he's a cancer, so he might be full of shit. But he might be full of shit. But I'm like, hey, even with the shit you saying about Umar Johnson, that's some interesting shit that nobody even thought about.
No, that's the thing. They don't think. They're followers. All of them niggas that follow all of them people, you know, follow Omar. And, you know, Omar and Lord Jamar, now they're beefing.
What?
Lord Jamar, now they're beefing because Lord Jamar did an interview with Umar Johnson not that long ago, and he questioned him about that money for that school. Because Lord Jamar was going to offer him some assistance because he has connections, I think somebody in his family, who can get money and grants and stuff like that. And Omar Johnson got offended. I think they did an interview. I don't know if he posted that interview, but he definitely responded, Lord Jamar, he responded to that particular interview that he did with Omar Johnson, but I can't find it. Really, I didn't look for it because I'm not really a fan of neither one. But he was saying that Omar went crazy on him in that interview, and he started going around basically bad-mouthing him because he questioned him about that school.
Is this a recent interview?
Within the past month.
Really? Because Omar still getting mad about that money, huh?
Yeah. Within the past month, and somebody walked up on Omar in Harlem not that long ago. Some dude was trying to get at him physically, and I think it pertained to the funds or the misappropriation of those funds, allegedly, for that school.
Wow.
Somebody walked up on him about that, you know, so... But no, I've always, they don't think. That's the problem. They don't think. See, in my mind, I'm looking at it like this. I'm gay. So I know if I'm in an all-male place, I'm going to be wondering which one of these, you know, at one time, not now, but which one of these niggas am I going to be able to, you know, are we going to be able to do some things if he goes my way? You know what I'm saying? So I don't understand why separating, how come they don't equate separating men from women as possibly being a driving force in promoting homosexuality, even on a subconscious level? I just don't understand that. Why would you want to separate men from women? Why would you want to do that?
That's what they you know it, but now...
No, I'm not saying that Omar's doing that for that. I'm not making no saying he's doing that for that reason.
Well, you know what, but it was very interesting. He does have a focus on little black boys. And was he that black boy molested? Because, you know...
Yeah.
Okay. So the thing about it is that because he talks a lot about black boys, and it's funny, they are doing the same blueprint as Dr. York.
That's what I'm talking about.
It's the same blueprint. And Umar Johnson is from Philadelphia. Okay.
And you know Philadelphia, again, people don't think Philadelphia, and this came to me in spirit a couple of years ago. It was very, very disturbing. Philadelphia has a major pedophile ring run out of it. Philadelphia and pedophilia, if you listen to the sound, they sound similar. They have a major, they have a history of having pedophile rings ran out of Philadelphia. And it's a major one up there now.
Ooh.
And their delicacy is young black girls, mainly. Because the spirits that were coming to me were young black girls. They were coming to me in my dream. And they were showing me how Philadelphia has a major pedophile ring that's ran out of Philadelphia, and it's connected all up and down the East Coast. And people always, they try to fault New York, but no, Philadelphia, because remember, back in the day, Philadelphia was the capital of the United States before it was D.C.
Yes, it was. And it's in Revelation. Y'all better go back to that Revelation. One of the cities.
Okay.
And Revelations is biblical. They tell you what it is. Okay? So we want to close out the show. Do you guys have any last words?
It was a great show. That's all I got to say. It was great being here with you guys again. You ladies.
Thank you. Do you have any last
words?
It's
always good when you're on.
I appreciate that.
We didn't get to it, but I just want to mention this real quick. And the video that you did talking about the gay slumming was a really good video because, you know, we had that conversation and reminiscing what gay black men used to be and how they were trendsetters and how they were sophisticated and had style and flair and swag. And now they're reduced to being what, you know, society see black women as being, just angry and, you know, hood and ghetto. And all of that is being perpetuated because of the conscious community, because that all came in with them. So
I
am hoping that they get back to that because That's when they, you know, everybody was stealing from gay black men back in the day because they were style setters, they were trendsetters, and I just hope you know they can get back to that because what where y'all at right now is not where it's at.
That's right.
But how can they get back to it? That means they have to get your consciousness back. Yeah, go ahead.
Right. They have to stop investing in carnal things and stop only investing in the materialism, you know, the coin and all that. Honey, I like my coin too. But the thing what separates me from other gay black men is that I invest more in my consciousness and my spirit. That's what I they don't invest in their spirit anymore. Like Sandy was saying, gay black men used to be influencers and, you know, trendsetters in our own right. But then it went from being that to trying to, you know, take over black women's energy. And then you got people like T.S. Madison, I don't give a fuck who get mad about it, who's trying to put themselves up as being a woman when you're not a woman. You don't have the equipment. So once we stop investing, once gay men stop investing in low vibrating carnal things, materialism, and start reinvesting in their subconscious and their spirit, then that will bring, you know, what Sandy was saying, back to fruition. You know, the class, the grace. I'm not saying that I'm a saint or anything like that, but I can definitely say that there's a difference between me and most gay black men that I run across. I can definitely say that because I don't invest in just materialism stuff. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, that's all right. I don't mean to interrupt you. I just want to say this before I forget. The relationships between black women and gay black men were a lot better back then when gay black men had their own energy and they stayed in that energy. We weren't competing with it. There wasn't this back and forth. It was all love. So what you're saying is completely right. We need to get back there. They need to get back there.
They were protectors over us.
We work together. We work together, not against each other.
So somewhere around the bend, it changed. And it became competitive. Now, are we going to, because here's what it is. For sure, we're going to have to stop blaming white folks because we fucking know
most
better.
Most definitely.
Mm-hmm.
That's
okay?
right.
And this day
That's
and
right.
time, we fucking know better. And the bottom line is that there's an energy. It makes you wonder what the fuck energy is over these brothers, okay? Even over these sisters. What's going on with y'all? You have no cooth. You have no understanding. You have no class.
Uh-huh.
You have nothing. And now they're reshape-shifting everything for it, like what we were talking about, what is bougie? And what the fuck? What the fuck are you talking about? Megan Thee Stallion, you're not bougie. You're not a socialite. It's like they rebranded everything for people not to aim high but aim low. You don't see why people are doing this shit. You don't see this.
No.
Right.
It's an insult. Okay?
Right. Right.
Okay?
Right. We were gatekeepers back in the day. That's all I wanted to say. We were gatekeepers back in the day. We guard and gatekeepers, we protect divine feminine energy. That's what we really do. It ain't about letting nobody into gateways like somebody has said before. No, it's about guarding divine feminine energy, which translates into protecting the black woman. That's what we did back in the day. That's the real gatekeepers who are gay.
But I have a question. When did gay men start pimping black women? Because I've been seeing some shit. Is it P Valley? And some of this other shit. Even, I mean, I like Saucy Santana, but the way I was hearing him talk to the city girls, it's a lot of that shit going on too, where you are having gay males give advice to black women on how to be a woman and how to sell their pussy, because you already know, and I don't know how you feel about this, but gay men call their rectum pussy. So you're telling a black woman how to sell her pussy because you're trying to, because you, whatever you're doing with your pussy, what you call a pussy.
Right. Right.
How?
Well, you know that pimping. You know, that pimping of black women, I'm glad you brought that up. I know we get ready to end, but you said something that's very interesting, because you know that pimping of black women, taking out the part about selling pussy and stuff, but that pimping of black women, you can go back to Luther Vandross and look at that, because they said that he was horrible to black women. He had black women that worked for him, but he was nasty to them and basically pimped them out, not for sex, but just how he treated them. Does that make sense?
Wow.
How he exploited their energy. Luther Vandross, from what I understand, he was very nasty and did not like women. He did not like women. And then if you look at a lot of the gay males here on black gay males on YouTube now that are pimping black women for their money, for example, the Funky Dinevas, the T.S. Madisons, I don't care about them being no tranny or nothing. It is what it is. I'm just saying he's not born a female, you know, that pimp black women for their money. So it's across the board, even in connection with what you're saying as far as Saucy Santana, how black women are giving these men their money. Why? So it's across the board. You're right. It's across the board.
Mm-hmm. And they're not talking about that. You know, I recently seen this movie called Zola. And Zola is about a stripper going on the road trying to get her next whatever job. But in the strip club, who, lo and behold, was there doing prayer? T.S. Madison. I said, what the fuck? Why is he up in the strip club? Is this what's going on in the strip club now? Are these men knowing this? These men?
He's in Atlanta, right?
Yeah.
Huh. So it's no telling. Yeah, they probably do, and they just don't care. You know, they just don't care. So,
okay. Anybody have any last words?
No,
I'm good.
Okay, y'all.
All right.
Okay. Thank you for being on the show.
Oh, no problem.
Okay,
I enjoy it.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Okay.
Right.
Bye. Bye.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.